Welcome to Everyone Loved It But Me. My name is Lisa Hedger. I am your host. I'm a freelance writer, editor, and journalist in Central Ohio. This is a podcast where we analyze beloved books and offer up all sorts of different opinions. Today's episode's a fun one. It is an episode where I kind of get to fill your TBR list, your to-be-read list, because I'm going to talk about some books I think that you should consider for Women's History Month. Certainly, you can read these books anytime, but we are in March, the start of Women's History Month, and I'm going to talk about some super popular books and some books that I think are super overlooked. Not going to do a deep dive on any of these books during today's episode, but I probably will in the future for a couple of these if I haven't already done them. Before I jump into the show, as I've said before, this is a one-woman podcast. I write and record everything here in my little closet in Central Ohio. I would really appreciate anything you can do to support my podcast, which would be writing a positive review anywhere you listen to the show. And of course, passing on links to my episodes on social media to encourage your friends and relatives to learn about the show. I really like building our bookish community. Now on to the show. All right, today I'm going to jump into some, I think, pretty great books to read for Women's History Month. And quite frankly, if you enjoy reading books about women, complicated women, with different issues that women have dealt with over the years, there's some historical books. These are books that you can put on your to-be-read list, and you don't just have to read them in March. You can read them anytime. The first one on the list, and I'm going to give you a combination of books I've read, books I haven't read, books that are super popular, books that are super, super overlooked, that are not getting much attention. We're just going to have a really fun list here. Number one is super, super popular, brand new book, just came out February 6th, 2024. So I'm literally recording this just a little more than 1 month since it was published, 5 weeks or so. And this is The Women by Kristen Hanna. I'm already, just to give you an idea of how super popular this is, again, in 5 weeks, it already has more than 105,000 ratings. For my library, I'm number 1,488. That's where I am on the wait list. 1,488. Now, I think, you know, you're wondering like, oh, is Lisa even going to get this book, you know, in the next decade? I will, because I think what will happen is there will be more books that will come in the circulation. Now, I have been requested to discuss this book on the podcast. I will probably just end up purchasing the book because it is very possible that even when they get more books in the circulation, on that high of a wait list, it could still take me, I would say, several months to get the book. People are saying this is one of Kristen Hanna's best books ever. Just as a reminder, Kristen Hanna has written The Nightingale, was super popular. She has written The Great Alone. We discussed Four Winds on the podcast. So this is described as a portrait of coming of age in a dangerous time and an epic tale of a nation divided. We start with Frances Frankie McGrath, who's a 20-year-old nursing student. She's raised in Southern California. She's got very conservative parents. She's always prided herself on doing the right thing. 1965, world is changing. And then suddenly, when her brother ships off to serve in Vietnam, she joins the Army Nurse Corps and follows his path. We're going to learn how she's impacted by the war. She has, you know, many veteran friends, and so many things happen. What's happening in America, a very divided country. I was looking on Goodreads, the reviewer Nilifer, she writes a lot of really good reviews, and she says, "Don't believe the lie if somebody insists that there were no women in Vietnam. They were there. They served their country, struggling with tragedies, PTSD, and casualties as well. But there was one crucial difference for them. They were never considered war heroes. Nobody applauded them for the sacrifices they made or awarded them medals. They didn't receive praise for their service, and when they attempted to speak about the psychologically consuming experiences they went through, they were silenced. So this is one of those great books that brings us to a time and a place, and looking at women again, a part of Vietnam that we really haven't heard that much about. We haven't really heard many women's stories, and apparently it takes us through a kind of a 20-year journey with Frankie, and a lot of pain, a lot of emotional, mental issues, things like that, telling her story. Going back to this review, Nilofer says, "I believe this might be my favorite work by Kristen Hannah." Apparently the closing note offers a lot of insight. I read several reviews where people said, you know, this is fictional for sure, but the characters were very in-depth, and it felt more like nonfiction. Keep that in mind. I got to tell you, that's the first one to consider. Get on your wait list at your library right now if that one interests you. So number two, the next one is Romantic Outlaws, The Extraordinary Lives of Mary Wollstonecraft and Her Daughter Mary Shelley. Now, this one was recommended on the Everyone Loved It But Me Facebook page, who was saying this was recommended in coursework. It has her really thinking about literature and the time, about how invisible, quote, ruined women were, that there's still a romantic spin given to the love match and good marriage stories of that time. Romantic Outlaws is the first book to tell the story of the passionate pioneering lives of Mary Wollstonecraft, English feminist and author of the landmark book, The Vindication of the Rights of Women, and her novelist daughter, Mary Shelley. Mary Shelley wrote Frankenstein. This one's a very opposite in terms of the first book, right? So this one was written almost 10 years ago, 2015, only has 6,000 ratings on Goodreads. It did, however, receive a nomination for Best History and Biography on Goodreads, but has not obviously gotten the same amount of attention. Here's like what the synopsis says. Although mother and daughter, these two brilliant women never knew one another. Wollstonecraft died of an infection in 1797 at the age of 38, a week after giving birth to Mary Shelley. Nevertheless, their lives were so closely intertwined, their choices, dreams, and tragedies so eerily similar, it seems impossible to consider one without the other. Both women became famous writers, fell in love with brilliant but impossible men, were single mothers who had children out of wedlock, both lived in exile, fought for their position in society, and thought deeply about how we should live. And both women broke almost every rigid convention there was to break. Wollstonecraft chased pirates in Scandinavia. Shelley faced down bandits in Naples. Wollstonecraft sailed to Paris to witness the revolution. Shelley eloped in a fishing boat with a married man. Wollstonecraft proclaimed that women's liberty should matter to everyone. That synopsis right there has me completely intrigued by this book. I think that this would be an excellent one. I think it would be an amazing discussion book. I have not read that one, but I think that's really one to put on your list for really, again, any time, right? We're talking Women's History Month, but these are books you can read any time of the year. Number three on the list is one I read, I think, a couple of years ago. The Island of Sea Women by Lisa C. That's S-E-E. This is one I read a couple of years ago, I think around COVID time. This is set in the Korean island of Jeju, and it follows a couple of young women, two girls from very, very different backgrounds. And essentially what they're doing is they're working in the sea with the all-female, like diving, diving team, but it's not an official team, right? For decades in the 1930s and 40s. And, you know, for many, many years, these women would dive into the sea, and that's how they would have their livelihood, if you will. They can make their living diving without any oxygen masks. It's the women that do the diving. They're gathering shellfish. They're gathering sea urchins. They're gathering things to that are going to be profitable to make revenue. And it's really interesting learning about the culture, how the women are the financial providers. Looking at this friendship between these two young women, first the girls, and then how they're both from different backgrounds, how the friendship completely changes over the years. And it's a lovely, lovely book. Of course, there are going to be some painful things. There's going to be anger and, you know, disbelief and mistrust and betrayal and things like that. But it's historical fiction, and you're going to be learning so much about a different culture that I knew very, very, very little about. So this is one I'm trying to remember. I think I gave it maybe like a between it. Yeah. Okay. I just looked. I gave it 4 stars out of 5. So I liked it quite a bit. Again, this is The Island of Sea Women by Lisa C. And that is one I think you should absolutely consider. And I'd say it's like somewhat popular. I think it had about 100,000 reviews on Goodreads. The next one I want to consider, once you consider this one has become a lot more popular, is Radium Girls by Kate Moore. This is about, I think, 144,000 ratings. This is one I still have not read. When we had this discovered element, when we discovered radium, it made these gleaming headlines across the nation as this face of beauty, this wonder drug of the medical community and from body lotion. And it was being marketed as this most wonderful thing, right? So hundreds of girls were employed at these factories amidst the glowing dust of the radium dial factories. The glittering chemical covers their bodies from head to toe. This is in the synopsis. They light up the night like industrious fireflies. With such a coveted job, these shining girls are the luckiest alive until they begin to fall mysteriously ill, because it's the very thing that they were working with night and day that is causing them to become sick and die. So these factories that offered these golden opportunities were ignoring claims of the gruesome side effects. They're ignoring the women's outrage about corruption and things like that, and the fact that radium is a poison. I posted on the Everyone Loved It But Me Facebook page, Everyone Loved It But Me Instagram, saying, hey, what are some books that everybody would consider? And I had a little graphic that did include Radium Girls. So many people said, yes, that's one of the best ones. That is so important. Absolutely, everyone should read that book. I need to get that one. I need to get that one on my list. And I just absolutely think it is very important. Okay, so number 5, this is one I think I read about a year ago. I think I read it in mid-2023. This is A Woman of No Importance, the untold story of the American spy who helped win World War II. Now, this one is complete nonfiction, and it was written by Sonia Purnell. It has about, I'd say it's more on that overlooked side, with just about, I'd say, under 50,000 ratings. It's not like a super popular one. And this one came out in 2019, so it has been out for a while. And like I said, it's not super, super popular. This is a story of Virginia, and she is a spy in World War II. I'll give you some of the synopsis. The spy was Virginia Hall. She's a young American woman. She's rejected from the Foreign Service because of her gender and her prosthetic leg. She basically talked her way into the spy organization. She's deemed Churchill's Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare, and she is involved in so many captivating stories. This is an incredible, incredible story. Now, I'm going to tell you kind of some of my thoughts. I will tell you, I did only give it like 3 stars. I found it to be super, super fascinating and amazing, the story. But I felt like the writing, quite candidly, was a little less engaging, a little less exciting. it seemed like I was being told a lot of the information. So I think that Sonia did an incredible job of I'm sure she was reading journals and she was reading so many, you know, documents and letters from lawmakers, from, you know, probably thousands and thousands of pages of documents. But I would have liked to have seen this story told with maybe a little more show, right? And a little less tell. So what I wrote was, I fear that Sonia Purnell spent so much time researching every aspect of the story that she wanted it to be 100% accurate and less time editing it for style. So I'm sure it's 100% accurate, but it's written in a little more of a research tone and not quite that exciting, adventurous book I think it could be. Again, for me, another challenge, I've been pretty candid about this. I think when there's a book that has so many different names, it's sometimes a little hard for me to keep track of all the names. And this was one, so we had the actual names of the folks, then we had their code names. And so it was really confusing for me. I did read this in a book club and other people said it was confusing for a lot of people to keep track of all the characters. What I said is, I thought this was a spot on amazing story about fabulous spy who's never gotten the hero's welcome she deserved. But I would love to see Sonia tweak this, re-release it, focusing more on crafting the story in a little more of a compelling manner. For those of you who read a lot of research, who spend a lot of time, you know, reading research, I think that this would be probably the perfect book for you because you're gonna be like, oh, I'm totally used to it. If you like that book that is a little more dynamically written and shows more and is a little more engaging, this might be one that's a little tougher to read. And number six on my list is I Am Malala. That's the story of the girl who stood up for education and was shot by the Taliban. This one, again, we're kind of going back and forth. This one's super popular, has 573,000 ratings on Goodreads, and it's just a story. If you haven't read this book, you absolutely should check it out. So this was now, this event happened, you know, more than a decade ago. So on October 9th, 2012, when she was 15, she almost paid the ultimate price. She was shot in the head at point blank range while riding the bus home from school. I read this one a couple of years ago. I thought that it was, you know, just an excellent, excellent book, something that, you know, it's super powerful, really important to read. And if you haven't read it, I would put it on your list. Another book that I've been a huge fan of, I think I've mentioned this quite a bit of times, probably number seven, is I'm Glad My Mom Died. I think this was one of my favorite books from 2022. This is the memoir by Jeanette McCurdy. And this one now is super, super popular. It was a winner for Best Memoir and Autobiography in 2022. This is Jeanette McCurdy. Again, I know many people say, I don't know who she is. Like I've said, it really doesn't matter if you know who she is. The way she writes this memoir, I still feel like from a memoir, this is very, very well written. She was basically like 6 years old when she started acting. She didn't want to. So this really tells that story of childhood actor having a mom who had many, many mental health issues, many of them that were not diagnosed. I feel like Jeanette McCurdy just writes this book so well. This was one of my few, I don't give a lot of five-star reviews, and this is one 100% five-star. The next one, another popular one I just discussed, we're going to give it to the Britney Spears, The Woman in Me. I do feel like Jeanette McCurdy's is probably a little, perhaps better written than Britney Spears, but they were both young women who were people pleasers. They were both forced, it felt like they were trying to please different people in their family and were not able to control their own destiny for many, many years. And, you know, with Britney Spears, like I talked about, the fact is very plain language, does jump around just a tad bit, but it is still, compared to other celebrity memoirs, definitely more organized and well thought out and one to really consider. But when you want to look at like some of these women's issues we're talking about. Number nine, we'll say The Other Black Girl. This is by Zakiah Dahlia Harris. And this now has 76,000 ratings. I read this one a couple of years ago. And this is, the description is, Get Out meets the Stepford Wives in this electric debut about the tension that unfurls when two young Black women meet against the starkly white backdrop of New York City publishing. So this one gets right into, like, you know, some really icky stuff that happens in publishing. And 26-year-old editorial assistant Nella Rogers is tired of being the only Black employee at Wagner Books. Fed up with the isolation, microaggressions, she's thrilled when Harlem-born and bred Hazel starts working in the cubicle beside her. They've only just started comparing natural hair regimen, though, when a string of uncomfortable events elevates Hazel to office darling, and Nella is left out in the dust. So what I think what I wrote about it is, okay, so I said, excellent premise about the lack of diversity in publishing. Without any spoilers, it took some different paths that I wasn't expecting. It's a book that I'll think about for a while, quite powerful. The story felt a little flat to me. A lot of the characters weren't super dynamic, but of course that's a challenge when we're mostly seeing characters at work. I said, I hope that if nothing else, this book shines a light on the major issues facing publishing. I think I had a couple issues with, like, the plot development as well. I said the major plot happens in the last 30 pages, but we kind of spent the first 300 pages getting into things. Keep that in mind. But I think that is the book. And I feel like, again, that's one that hasn't gotten quite as much attention. Number 10 is super, super overlooked. The Women of the Copper Country. This one by Mary Doria Russell, and it has just 7,000 ratings. I was pretty blown away by this one. Like, I was really surprised. So this is 1913, and we have 25-year-old Annie Clements. It has seen enough of the world to know that it was unfair. She spent her whole life in the copper mining town of Calumet, Michigan, where men risked their lives for meager salaries and had barely enough to put food on the table, clothes on their backs. We're basically seeing one of the first strikes that's taking place. I really enjoyed this one. Like, this one, again, I read, I think, maybe 3 or 4 years ago, but it really helped me learn again about, you know, women and a time and place that I knew very, very, very little about. That's The Women of the Copper Country, Mary Doria Russell. That's one I think you should really consider. Number 10 is one that I just read a couple weeks ago. Very, very short, powerful memoir. This is called Heart Berries, and it's H-E-A-R-T, Heart Berries, Therese Marie Mailhot. So it's this was a nominee for Best Memoir and Autobiography for Goodreads in 2018, but it has just 27,000 ratings, so it is one I would also consider quite overlooked. Powerful, poetic memoir of a woman's coming of age on the Seabird Island Indian Reservation in the Pacific Northwest, having survived profoundly dysfunctional upbringing, only to find herself hospitalized and facing a dual diagnosis of post-traumatic stress disorder and bipolar 2 disorder. Therese Marie Mailhot is given a notebook and begins to write her way out of trauma. So a lot of this is kind of what I would describe as, like, stream of consciousness. So you kind of have to go with the flow a little bit, you know. This synopsis says, Mailhot trusts the reader to understand that memory isn't exact, but melded to imagination, pain, and what we can bring ourselves to accept. Her unique and at times unsettling voice graphically illustrates her mental state. So as you're reading this, I mean, it is showing you how she is in that state. So it is unsettling. I like that description. That's completely accurate. It's beautiful. It's painful to read, but it's not very long. It's written poetically, so I always love kind of a poetic time, a poetic style of writing. Another book, this is one that I've got on my Everyone Loved It But Me list to analyze, which I have not done so yet, that I've tried reading a couple of times. It's one of everyone's favorite books, Hello Beautiful by Anne Napolitano. And this is a modern take on Little Women. And I think it's a really quiet book. And I usually like really quiet books, but each time I have started it, I guess I've got to try it again and really go through it. A lot of people really enjoy it. It definitely does start out a little quite quiet. I need to give it another shot for sure. Those are a number of books that I've got on my list. I'll also include a link in the show notes. Some publications have wonderful, wonderful, there's so many books to consider, but I just want to talk about several, and this is a lot of fun. Please reach out to me at www.everyonelovedit.me.com. Let me know some books about women that you think I should read as well, or put on my list for later this year and the near future. And feel free to reach out to me on Facebook, Twitter, I know it's now X, LinkedIn, Instagram, all the places, Lisa Hedger or Everyone Loved It But Me. I hope that you have a lovely day. And most importantly, I hope you get time to read today.